Welcome to Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and I'm bringing you an extension of my show all about the Pansy Craze. In this segment, I'm bringing you more of the main artists, and also some related ones, whose songs illustrate that period of our culture, covering mostly the 1930s. And this first act is not gay, but the song is. It's called He's So Unusual, and was made famous by Helen Kane. But I chose for you a male version.
When I feel like loving, and I gotta have some loving, he says, please, stop it, please.
He's so unusual.
When I want some kisses, and I'm burning up for kisses,
he says, no, let me go.
He's so unusual.
I know lots of boys who might be crazy over me. If they only had this fellow's opportunity, I would let him pet me,
but the darn fool doesn't let me.
He's so unusual, he drives me wild.
From 1929, that was by Fred Rich and his orchestra. And Cyndi Lauper did a wonderful cover version of that song in 1984. Okay, you'll definitely notice a difference between parts 1 and 2 of this show. On part 1, I did way more talking than I usually do, because, well, there was just so much history to explain, and I had to go into more depth to introduce the people so that you knew how they fit in. In this part, you already know most of the artists, so I can get to the music more quickly. So, I promised you more of the main Pansy Craze acts, and I'm starting right off with two by Ray Bourbon. Listen for his trademark giggle as we hear the not-so-subtle songs Chiropractor's Wife and First Swimming Lesson.
Now, to look at me, you'd think that I was happy. But honest, I've got something on my mind. It was my tough luck to marry a chiropractor, and happiness with that louse is hard to find. Why, in the evening when the day is done and he returns to home, instead of greeting me with a kiss, he wants to crack a bone. Now, I had a shape like Venus in my day, but since I've married this Palmer graduate, I'll say, I'm just a chiropractor's wife. I'm adjusted for life. I have my many trials and tribulations. But when my husband gets a new idea of how to set a bone, I'm the sap that goes through all the operation. Now, this may sound absurd, but you can certainly take my word. I don't think I ever sleep in bed. Because every night I'm able, he lays me on the table. And it serves me right for marrying a chiropractor. Oh, my dear, you have no idea what a chiropractor's wife goes through. He gets you in the most unusual positions, and then he'll crack bones. My spine has been in every conceivable shape. I'll wake up some morning with my legs wrapped around my neck and have the awful time getting undone. It takes all the neighbors to undo me from my own self. It's terrible. Oh, I'm just a chiropractor's wife. I'm disjointed for life. Trying to help him out in his profession. But he worked on me last night, so I was a sorry sight. Sometimes he bumps me 3 times in succession. But he is so good and kind. When he bumps, I really don't mind. I'm a girl what likes my fixings now and then. And with his treatments, he's a bear. Because he knows right when and where. And I'm kind of glad I married a chiropractor. Now, I went to the seashore last June, I think it was. And there I met a lifeguard. He said his name was Buzz. What a devil with the women. He sure knew his game. When he first taught me swimming, because I haven't been the same. Now we started in a rowboat till we got away from land. Then he threw me in water and I screamed and grabbed his hand. Then he wanted me to pull his oar, and I said, no, siree. Then he pinched me on my water wing, till I says, oh, leave it be. Then he showed me his channel stroke. Oh, was it fine? And did I enjoy his floating in the good old summertime? And now days when I go bathing, I always think of him and all the things he showed me when I first learned how to swim. Now I have a sweet young cousin. His Christian name is Lou. We went away one summer, just Lou and me, we two. Of course, I thought I'd teach Lou swimming. He'd never learned, I found. But the way he carried on in the water, I knew he'd been around. He says, I'm going to duck you. And I misunderstood. And in spite of what I thought he said, I hoped he really would. Then he came up underneath me, and he knocked me off my feet. And of all the things that I called Lou, I really can't repeat. Now, you know, I can't remember everything that happened in the water. And even if I really could. Oh, Mary, now, you know I don't think I ought to. But just use your dirty imagination and let your conscience be your guide. Oh, Mary. For if I ever tell my boyfriend, well, of course, I'll never be a bride.
Both from 1936, Ray Bourbon released those on his own label, Bourbana. He may have gotten the label name idea from Dwight Fisk, who started his Fiskana label a couple years before. So here are two by Fisk. Notice that he always first announces the name of the song.
Mrs. Trapp. Mrs. Trapp spent her 40th birthday brooding in a bubble bath. Life had her completely down. In fact, life was the only thing that had had her down for weeks. You see, Mrs. Trapp was what you might call a frustrated nymphomaniac. Her only excuse for living was a harbor home for wayward cats. She was getting damn sick and tired of running a cat house. The only thing that soothed her twanging nerves was lying in her bubble bath, reading her copy of In Bed We Try. And there she stayed until the last bubble burst. You see, Mrs. Trapp was doubly unhappy because only a month before she had buried her last husband. And already she was beginning to suspect the old goat of having popped off on purpose. Never before had she ever heard of any man dying from eating too many oysters. Bitterly, she remembered the old days. The young husband, George, her first. So young, so virile, so big in all the ways that women love. Earl, her second. So lousy with money. So lousy with stocks and bonds, and so lousy. And her third, who was terrific. Whose name escaped her. He and she had a perfect arrangement. He had his friends and she had his friends. And now her late lamented Mr. Trapp, a charming, absent-minded gentleman, 20 years her senior, who once said to her over a tired grapefruit, Pigeon, Pigeon, darling, you know I feel 10 years younger after a good shave in the morning. Trapp looked him straight in the eye and said, why the hell don't you try shaving before you go to bed? No, they didn't make men the way they used to, neither did Mrs. Trapp. Hay was something horses ate and she crawled into a load. Now in the deepening twilight, she stared 40 right in the teeth and fell old in Oklahoma. Suddenly she set up bolt right in the tub. Bubbles flew helter-skelter. Was it a dream, or did she hear a man cough in her bedroom? For a minute, she sat all tense like a circus. And then suddenly, a polite male voice asked if she'd like to have her sink unplugged. The Before she could move, the door opened and there stood 6 solid feet of plumber. Mrs. Trapp took one look and thought he looked like a Greek god. The second look, he looked like a Greek god! The third look, she hoped he was nearsighted. So 3 days later, when they finally left the bathroom, they left it just long enough to get a marriage license return. They went to their waiting car under an arch of cross plungers. There was a heavy flush on the groom's face. The bride was sprinkled with toilet water. But Mrs. Trapp didn't give a good goddamn, for she knew at last she found her ace in the hole.
Salome. This is the story of a little girl who is bored by everything up to a point. And that very point kept her interested in nothing else. Even as a child, Salome was never young. Her busy hands got her into everything. She created maturity in more than one man. She was so seldom on her feet, it's a miracle she'd ever learned to walk. And while Herod, her stepfather, leered at her with his 2 good eyes, Salome rapidly developed. She discovered 2 great things. One, the easiest way to dispose of problems was to take them to bed with her. And the other was to dance. God, how she could dance! Even when there was no music. Every move she made expressed a four-letter word. But everything and everybody in her stepfather's court bored her. And then suddenly John came into her life. John had what she was looking for, that new long look. John knew what she wanted. Unlike thousands of other men, he'd missed his ins and outs and had to find his peace internally. Salome found herself bewildered by John. His voice was so low, she wondered where it came from. He spoke to her horribly. She loved it. He spoke of right. She thought of wrong. Oh, John is love, she cried. Beastial, he said. Meanwhile, Herod was feeling his one oat, which was so singular it wanted to become plural. At that exact moment, Salome started her now famous dance. Only because she had so many other things she wanted to do. One by one, she slipped off her gorgeous veil until she stood, not at all to her surprise, with nothing to fall back on. When she'd slipped off her last veil, Herod asked her what she desired. Your wish, your want, your body, my God, he screamed. But Salome only wanted one thing, John. God, how she wanted John! So when Salome danced, John lost his head. Which only goes to prove if you want something long enough, and you want something hard enough, you're always bound to get it in the end.
Those two were from a little later in the career of Dwight Fisk, from the 40s and 50s. Seems like he got less subtle by then with those 2 tracks called Mrs. Trapp and Salome. I had intended to play some Noel Coward in part 1 of this show. Not that I at all consider him as part of the pansy craze, but he has a couple songs that certainly fit in. As in the case of the Cole Porter song I played, this first one was from a musical and was sung by a woman in that show. And indeed, over the years, it's become a standard, covered by vocalists like Lena Horne, Eartha Kitt, and Dinah Washington. but of course I prefer his own version from 1932 of Mad About the Boy.
I met him at a party just a couple of years ago. He was rather over hearty and ridiculous, but as I've seen him on the screen, he cast a certain spell. I basked in his attraction for a couple of hours or so. His manners were a fraction too meticulous. If he was real or not, I couldn't tell. But like a silly fool, I fell. Mad about the boy. I know it's stupid to be mad about the boy. I'm so ashamed of it, but must admit the sleepless night I've had about the boy. On the silver screen, he melts my foolish heart in every single scene. Although I'm well aware that here and there are traces of the cad about the boy. Lord knows I'm not a fool, girl. I really shouldn't care. Lord knows I'm not a schoolgirl in the flurry of affair. Will it ever cloy, this odd diversity of misery and joy? I'm feeling quite insane and young again, and all because I'm mad about the boy. Mad about the boy. It's pretty funny, but I'm mad about the boy. He has a gay appeal that makes me feel there's maybe something sad about the boy. Walking down the street, his eyes look out at me from people that I meet. I can't believe it's true, but when I'm blue, in some strange way, I'm glad about the boy. I'm hardly sentimental, love isn't so sublime. I have to pay my rental and I can't afford to waste much time. If I could employ a little magic that would finally destroy this dream that pains me and enchains me, but I can't because I'm mad about.
There's another song by Noel Coward that really fits this show, and that's Green Carnation. It's from his 1933 musical, Bittersweet, and talks about the practice of gay men in England in the gay 90s wearing green carnations. There's no beating around the bush what that song is about, and for 1933, in a mainstream musical, that was noteworthy. I wish I had a version of him singing the complete song, but all I've been able to track down is him doing it as part of a medley. So I've taken that snippet and coupled it with a version very faithful to the spirit of that song. It's from 1967, from a Noel Coward tribute album done by Edward Earl and the Satisfactions. They and Noel Coward all wear a green carnation.
Pretty boys, witty boys, too, 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 lazy to fight stagnation. Haughty boys, naughty boys, all we do is to pursue sensation. The portals of society are always opened wide. The world our eccentricity condones. A note of quaint variety we're certain to provide. We dress in very decorative tones. Faded boys, jaded boys, womankind's gift to a bulldog nation. In order to distinguish us from less enlightened minds, we all wear a green carnation.
Thank you. say, boys, are we exquisitely free from the dreary and quite absurd moral views of the common herd. We like porphyry bows, chandeliers and stoves. We're most spirited, carefully filleted souls. Pretty boys, witty boys, too, 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 lazy to fight stagnation. Haughty boys, naughty boys, all we do is to pursue sensation. The portals of society are always open wide, the world our eccentricity condones. A note of quaint variety we're certain to provide, we dress in very decorative tones. Faded boys, jaded boys, womankind's gift to a bulldog nation. In order to distinguish us from less enlightened minds, we all wear a green carnation. We believe in art, though we're poles apart. From the fools who are thrilled by grills, we like Beardsley and green chartreuse. Women say we're too bored to bill and coo. We smile wearily, it's so drearily true. Pretty boys, witty boys, you may sneer at our disintegration. Haughty boys, naughty boys, dear, 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 swooning with affectation. Our fingers sleek and willowy, our lips incarnadine, may worry the majority a bit. But matrons rich and billowy invite us out to dine and reveled in our phosphorescent wit. Faded boys, jaded boys, come what may, art is our inspiration. And as we are the reason for the 90s being gay, we all wear a green carnation. Pretty boys, pretty boys, yearning for permanent adulation. Haughty boys, naughty boys, every pore bursting with self-inflation. We feel we're rather Grecian, as our manners indicate. Our sense of moral values isn't strong. Our ultimate completion, we will really have to wait until the day of judgment comes along. Faded boys, jaded boys, each one craves some sort of soul salvation. But when we rise reluctantly but gracefully from our graves, we'll all wear a green carnation.
I say, shall we join the ladies?
Oh, yes, let's. Let's join them all together and make one big lady.
I'm going to stay in the UK for a while and play for you a song by a great friend of Noel Coward's, Beatrice Lilly. Like many of the English artists, she also made many successful appearances in the U.S. during the Pansy era. Her signature song started out in 1917 as a children's song, but somehow it seems different when she sang it in 1934. It's called There Are Fairies at the Bottom of My Garden, and pay attention to the song right after it, as it refers directly to those same fairies.
Just a ballad entitled There Are Fairies at the Bottom of Our Garden. Thank you. There are fairies at the bottom of our garden. Now it's not so very, very far away. You pass the gardener's shed, and you just keep straight ahead. No, I do so hope they've rarely come to stay. There's a little wood with moss in it and beetles. And a tiny stream that quietly runs through. Oh, you wouldn't think they dare to come merrymaking there. But they do, yes, oh, they do. There are fairies at the bottom of our garden, and they often give a dance on summer nights. Oh, the butterflies and bees make a charming little breeze, and the rabbits sit about and hold the light. Now, did you know that they could sit upon a moonbeam? did you? And snatched a tiny star to make a fan. And dumped way up there in the middle of the air. Oh, well, they can. Yes, oh, they can. Oh, are those fairies at the bottom of our garden. You cannot think how beautiful they are. They all stand up and sing when the fairy king and queen come lightly floating down upon their car. Now the king is very proud and very handsome. And the queen, well, can you guess who that may be? She's a little girl all day, but at night she steals away. Now this will kill you, I hope. Well, it's me. Yes, it's me.
Once upon a time, there were two fairies. Now, there are a great many. Do you believe in fairies and the stories that never grow old? There are fairies at the bottom of the garden. That's the tale we've all been told. Let's think of the childhood days, then go back to our baby ways. And let's all be fairies.
Tinkle, tinkle, crash, crash, crash.
All dance around and go crazy, waving a buttercup and daisy. We'll go in the onesie,
on tiptoe we'll say dash, dash.
Let's all be fairies.
Tinkle, tinkle, crash, crash, crash.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Fairy bells are gaily ringing.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Everybody's gaily singing, dancing round the moonbeam.
Da, 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 da.
Hear our fairy footsteps. Here we are.
Two great big burly boxers were engaged to appear in the ring. Said the slosher to the slogger,
I won't hurt you if you don't hurt the old thing. When we're in the ring tonight, there's no reason why we should fight. So let those be fairies. Tinkle, tinkle, crash, crash, crash. Don't get annoyed if I shove you. You can't imagine how I love you. We'll punch flimsy, flimsy. You go out when I say dash. Let those be fairies. Tinkle, tinkle, crash, crash, crash.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Fairy bells are gaily ringing.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Everybody's gaily singing, dancing round the moonbeam. Da 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 da. Hear our fairy footsteps.
Whoops, here we are.
Whoops, here we are.
You have just heard Let's All Be Fairies.
There's no mistaking the gay content of that song. That was Let's All Be Fairies from 1933 by the Durian Dance Band. Have you got time for a quick quote by Noel Coward? He said, I should love to perform There Are Fairies in the Bottom of My Garden, but I don't dare. It might come out, There Are Fairies in the Garden of My Bottom. And you know, I have two more fairy songs for you. The first is an English music hall standard with the amusing title of No One Loves a Fairy When She's 40.
For years a fairy queen I've been. For years I foiled the demon king. But alas, I'm getting on, the years have flown somehow. And I feel that fairy snowdrop isn't wanted now. Nobody loves a fairy when she's 40. Nobody loves a fairy when she's old. She may still have a magic power, but that is not enough. they like their bits of magic from a younger bit of stuff. When once your silver star has lost its glitter, and your tinsel looks like rust instead of gold, your fairy days are ending when your wand has started bending. No one loves a fairy when she's old. 'Twas I who helped Aladdin find a cave that wasn't there. 'Twas I who made Wick Dittington turn round and then Lord Mayor. I've been a spirit of the flowers and fairy daffodil. I've been a fairy of the wind, I suffer from it still. In satin-covered ballet shoes, I toe dance through the glen, beloved by all the children and run after by the men. No one could touch me at Miss Blitz for all the rage, until the night woodman left his chopper on the stage. What a mess. Nobody loves a fairy when she's 40. Nobody loves a fairy when she's old. She may still have a magic power, but that is not enough. They like their bit of magic from a younger bit of stuff. When you can't cast a spell without it spilling, and a fairy tale for years you haven't told, you stand there shouting, what oh, but they pass you by your grotto. No one loves a fairy when she's old.
That was well-known British singer and actress Tessie O'Shea singing No One Loves a Fairy When She's 40. I've tried to find a male version of that song, and there must be one, but I've yet to uncover it. I guess that was my set of fairy songs. I've got one more from the UK, and I said I'd play for you more by Douglas Bing and Brose Fletcher. First, from Douglas Bing, from 1933, is one called And Modern American Ways.
My dears, I just adore your divine country. Oh, there goes that American accent again. I don't know what my husband will say. That's the worst of going to New York for a holiday. You see, I've just come from USA, and a very pleasant stay, my dears. For 5 months, I just never went to bed. I arrived to spend a session in the midst of the Depression. If I hadn't, well, by now I should be dead. I met Al Smith and Mayor Walker and became a real New Yorker. I drank gin made out of little bits of wood. I'd a flask and could I fill it? And the slang, gee, could I spill it? Oh, boy, oh, boy, you bet I could. Oh, my dears, I had the most divine time. I shall never forget one night I was standing on Broadway. A young man came up to me and said, hello, baby, do you want to make whoopee? I said, thank you, I can wait till I get home. He said, oh, you don't get me. I said, I don't want you. He said, I know, you think I'm one of those tough guys. I said, I really don't know, my good man, I've never bitten you. He said, well, let's get together and go places. I said, get together, we're not in the art now. Anyway, we did go places. He took me to see one of those girl shows on Broadway. I think it was called Mr. White's Scandals. I don't know about scandals. I certainly shouldn't like to have presented it in Tunbridge Wells. A lady came on and sang Time on My Hands. That's all she had got on. Just a wristwatch. After that, we went to a speakeasy. I must say, after a couple of gin fizzes, I began to speak very easily. And the gangsters, charming men, not a bit what you'd expect. No, every time you felt for their gun, you got caught up in their flapjack. One of them turned to me. I was just helping myself to a rye whiskey at the time. He turned to me and said, baby, do you take it straight? I said, I take it anyway. After that, he wanted to see me home. When we got on the doorstep, he said, you know, I wouldn't mind stepping out with you. I said, well, anyway, you're not stepping in. He said, oh, it's okay by me. I said, is it? But it's B.O. by me. And that means buzz off. Oh, you learn some swell expressions in America. That statue seems to make them all so free. If the vicar's wife looks frowsy, you say, ain't you looking lousy? And she may call you a dog that's not a he. If a young man starts to stare, you just give him the air. 'Cause only liquor's cut, that means it's weak. Oh, every day on Broadway, I heard lots of things quite new. The folks were very kind to me. Oh, I learnt a thing or two. It didn't take me long to say okay or nuts to you. You must go to New York to learn to speak. Oh, yeah.
Again, that was Douglas Bing. And for Bruce Fletcher, here's one from 1937 called The Prairie. Listen in the beginning for when he says, "I've been rounded up aplenty. Ask my buddies Casey and Lee." Casey Roberts was his partner of many years and himself quite accomplished as an artist and designer, garnering 3 Academy Award nominations.
I've been living on the prairie, where they tell me that men are men. With my saddle and my boots, bullock Wilshire cowboy suits, gallon hats both 5 and 10. I've been rounded up aplenty. Ask my buddies Casey and Lee. I've had grass stuck up my coat, scampering from the wild coyote. Now I'm back again where I should be, back in the dirt, back in the dust of the city. Da-da-da, da-da-dee-dee. Give me Listerine and Flit, and you can keep that Mustang bit. Give me the dear old city. Give me the sin, give me the din of the city. Ha-cha-cha, ho-dee-ho. I can make that cowboy yell, yippee, just by ringing up a bell. Here in the dear old city, there's a place not far away called the Chateau Elysee. Better than old Bar X, where a girl can go to bed and no snake will raise its head, though a sun will rise and write her lovely check, she hopes. Give me the noise, joys, boys of the city. Give me the slickers, lickers, tickers, stock and clock. Give me men not quite so vagrant, but most certainly more fragrant. Give me the dear old city. Oh, you can't imagine what occurs when all your clothes are full of burrs and on your feet those nasty spurs are stuck. All that they bequeath you is a horse to put beneath you and a clout on your about to wish you luck. You think of luncheon at the Vendome, cocktails at the Ritz, and oh, how it comes home to you that this is just the situation you said you'd never get into. On the very far horizon, you see the smoke come from a train, a lovely train with cinders for your eye. On such a train you saw the folder. Why not now, before you're older, find yourself in God beneath the sky? You see water holes and gopher holes and totem poles and sand. Totem poles and gopher holes and water holes and land and sage. May I never hear the word. Any turkey that's superior loves it stuck in its posterior, but appearance notwithstanding, I am no bird. I've tramped. I've camped. I've introduced a different brand. The great divide all on my side means more than now than just a crack in the land where the deer and the antelope can take it. Give me a penthouse instead of a tent house, and give me a bathroom. Give me Chanel, and to hell with the fella that smells of the range. Give me beautiful faces and practical graces, and show me the man who likes wide open spaces. Get along, little doggie, get along.
Next you'll hear Fletcher sing, "Oh, for a Week in the Country," and pay close attention for all those double meanings. Like, for example, mention of a daisy chain.
Once a year, some member of the adult population makes the vile suggestion that we should see the creation of the flora and the fauna that have come from beneath the snow. And before a man is sober, upon a trip we go. Whisk in fancy motor cars and radiant with wine, the start of such a pilgrimage seems most spa-like and most fine. Egged on by our friends, the rats, who at midnight wave goodbye, we leave the sane, unsanitary saloon and gaily cry. Oh, for a week in the country, now that spring is here, with beautiful trainers and muscles like that to burnish our fancies and banish our fat. Oh, for a week with the wild things, the fresh, the young, the new. No one will hocus or pocus when we stoop to crocus, and no one will care if they do. On the green sward, a daisy chain we'll make, just as a means toward learning more if we can about each brother man. Oh, for a week primeval, with a bag to sleep in and not on, with a hamper of goodies we'll scamper through woodies. Oh, for a week as a fawn. Wildwood days, wildwood days, among the birds and bee girls. 'Cause the old red barn is a clip joint now. You never see a pig and you never see a cow. But the summer stock is blooming, so there's ham sublime, and fresh eggs nightly laid a dozen at a time. If you think the country's peaceful, then you're taped in the head. You never get to rest and you never get to bed. The well-known farmer's daughter's very different today. She can take the traveling salesman and make the gay hay pay. There's a cocktail bar where the pump once was, and the jug bands learned to swing the boop and boop. No one cares what anyone does, or who, why, what, or anything. They take every brand of sex and every coin but Mex. They say it's just too divine, where they used to say by hex. And when they send you back to town, they send you back as nervous wrecks. 'Cause for naive city people, country life is too complex. With bright green tile, they blind the swimming hole, and the skunks all smell of tweed. The birds sing songs by Cole and Noel. We were there with a Hammond organ playing the accompaniment they need. Oh, it's really worth a week to go and take a peek at the chick sales all in glass and very, very chic. And you'll love the way the local lads and lassies take La Leek. But if you're looking for existent relaxation, keep quite distant from the rural population. Spend your week in some big town building yourself up, not tearing yourself down. And don't go to other country.
The delightful Bruce Fletcher. I want to share with you a couple by Australian artist named Nan Blackstone. She also was known for the naughty double entendre style of music, and she performed at the same clubs as some of our pansies. She headlined with Gene Mallon in 1931 and Bruce Fletcher in 1934. She even paired up with Dwight Fisk to release an album together. And she was on one of the labels Ray Bourbon recorded on, Liberty Music Shop. She has a song I've played before in my show called He Should Have Been a Whack, about a guy who, well, should have. But I've picked two for you that show more where her mind could go. Both from 1946, here are The Elevator Song and Little Richard's Getting Bigger, and It's Just What You Think.
In a rickety old building, there's a charming old man who runs the elevator there. One day there stepped onto his lift a maiden sweet and fair. She said, "Take me to the top floor, please." He tried, but the thing wouldn't budge. Once more, the little old man tried. Then he turned to the maiden and sighed. "I can't get it up anymore. It hasn't got the pep it had before. Once it gave such satisfaction. But madam, too much use has put it out of action. It's been going up and down now for years. It's had lots of wear and tear on the gears. So there's no use to ring. I can't budge this darn thing. I just can't get it up anymore. Once it was young, it worked like a charm. Needed no extra persuasion. It had plenty of slip and it sure was a pip. It would just rise for any occasion. Once it was young, a rose of the touch, needed no fixing and poking. But now it is gone, the way of all flesh, looks like the gimmick is broken. I can't get it up anymore. The lever doesn't function like before. It was such a sturdy lever. But madam, never can a lever last forever. It once was the best in the town, but now it won't rise, it stays down. So I'll phone Mr. Otis and I'll hand in my notice, 'cause I can't get it up anymore. It's had abuses. Can't get it up anymore. It's grown its fuses. Can't get
get it up anymore. Ever since the day we were married, I've been careless, darling, and so have you. But now that little Richard is 6 years old, looks like we'll have to watch the things we say and do. 'Cause little Richard's getting bigger every day. He's a whopper, like his papa. If he doesn't stop growing mighty quick, they will soon be calling him Big Richard. Little Richard's getting bigger every day. He's a he-man, like a G-man. He has grown 3 inches since last May. Little Richard's getting bigger every day. Little Dickie's getting bigger every day. To be formal, he's abnormal. Everyone who sees Dickie will agree he is a Robert Ripley oddity. Little Richard's getting bigger every day. He's tremendous, he's stupendous. How much longer can he grow this way? Little Richard's getting bigger every day. He's really blooming, getting bigger every day. He's superhuman, getting bigger every day.
Nan Blackstone, and on her recordings made after 1939, you'll find her last name spelled without the C and with the K capitalized, as that was when her publicist decided to change the spelling. I've got another female performer to play for you, whose recordings were definitely a commentary on society around her. She went by Madame Spivey, or just Spivey. She started entertaining in New York City in the mid-1930s and made her first recordings in, I believe, 1939. She attained real attention when she ran her own club called Spivey's Roof, located on 57th Street in New York City, which lasted from 1940 to 1951. That's quite a long run. Here's a quote from someone from that time period describing her. This was Spivey. Her hair was combed and lacquered into a pointed pompadour with a white streak running through it, and she often wore a black dress with shoulder pads and sequin lapels. Spivey was squat and looked like a bulldog. We used to call her the Bulldog Bulldike. After running her club in New York, she went on to do the same in several European cities and then returned to the U.S. and, amazingly, went from live performing to a quite successful movie and television career, appearing in major films. But back to the music. My favorite by her mentions Oscar Wilde. It's from 1939, where she says, "I brought culture to Buffalo in the 90s.
Intimate memories of Buffalo in the 90s. I brought culture to Buffalo in the 90s. When Wilde was there, he visited my home. I showed him all the glories I'd bought so cheap in Greece, and all the wonders I'd brought home from Rome. He was spellbound at the splendor of my whatnot, and the cigar butt Papa got from General Grant. He couldn't tear his eyes from my bay window, and the maiden hair beneath the rubber plant. I brought culture to Buffalo in the 90s. The year I took the iron dog off our lawn. In its place I put a Venus in a 90, and a rather naughty but authentic fawn. I completely reproduced the Versailles Garden, though the Erie claimed they had the right of way. I swore I'd die before a tie was laid to desecrate Versailles. I made Buffalo the place it is today. I was the first to have a Turkish corner, though plenty followed suit, you may be sure. I produced a pageant based on Jackie Horner, and the deficit was given to the poor. I brought culture to Buffalo in the 90s.
I made the natives conscious of the nude. In my dining room I put boy extracting thorn from foot, and my guests that winter scarcely touched their food. The season that I gave my talks on yoga was one I felt I never could surpass. I had a negligee cut like a toga, and all my candelabra piped for gas. I brought culture to Buffalo in the night. When Wilde was there, he visited my home, filled with all the treasures of the ages, and a nugget Uncle Nate had sent from Nome. I showed him all the house right through the garret, and said, what one thing does it still require? When Oscar looked at me, I could not bear it. A match, he said, madame. A match to set the goddamn place on fire.
Time to wind down this segment, and I've had a lot of fun bringing you music that you probably would not be able to hear anywhere else. I'm closing with three by Ray Bourbon, and the first is called Bourbon to the Cleaners, and is from 1945, where he says he's cleaned up his act. Don't believe it. I like the song because he mentions some of his contemporaries, so you'll hear him talk about Nan Blackstone, Dora Moon, Dwight Fisk, Sophie Tucker, and Mae West.
Now, I've gained notoriety by saying to hell with propriety and shocking all society with things I say and do. For years, I've always drawn my pay for singing songs they call risque and doing pantomime that is low and blue. But I am filled with great remorse at having been so base and coarse. So I made a brand new resolution. No more will I be risque or sing a filthy rondelay or do a sketch that deals with prostitution.
What a novelty that'll be.
Bourbon has been to the cleaners. I am the essence of purity. Any little evil thought I promptly will squelch. I won't be suggestive, never again will I belch. So the mayor of our city can go to his vice committee. Every writer I had has been a vulgar person. So I'm buying my new material from a very certain type of person. Oh, other entertainers whose stuff is quite obscene are gonna bust a gusset when they hear that bourbon's clean. Now, there's Nan Blackstone. I wonder how she'll react to it. You know naughty Nan, the girl is always thinking I can't find a place to do it. And if she could and you got to look at her in the light, she still wouldn't succeed. Oh, definitely. I'll never forget once she played a stag. Somebody said, good heavens, Ned Sparks in drag. And then there's Dora Moon, billed as England's big bad woman. When she hears I've been laundered, she'll do some fussing and fuming. She always said we were the two basest characters in this region. Now she's a sergeant in the Foreign Legion. And then there's Dwight Fisk, that gay old ante. You've heard of Fisk? Park Amadou's Jimmy Durante? He'll get me right on the phone. He'll say, Ray, I'm going to scrap Mrs. Pettibone. I'll say that's a splendid start. But you only have to take out one part. That part where it says, Mr. Pettibone leaped the bathroom naked as a newborn babe and twice as cocky. Poor Dwight, she'll go from ham to jam overnight. And Sophie Tucker, when she hears I've taken the cure, she'll stick her material right back in the sewer. Sophie always says, I believe in giving tit for tat, that's the way I live. Well, she's entitled to a lot of tat, heavens knows she's got a lot to give. And Mae West won't jump for joy when she hears I'm the Johnson's office fair-haired boy. From now on, I'll not raise an eyebrow. I ain't gonna do a goddamn thing that ain't strictly highbrow. From bawdy lyrics, I'll try to refrain, but even a clean collar can get dirty again.
Oh, bourbon has been to the cleaners. I am the assassin of purity, said she, believing it.
Of course you noticed when he mentioned Mae West, who he had close associations with for years. In 1944, she cast him in one of her shows called Catherine Was Great. The critics hated it, but it ran for several months on Broadway. In it, she sings the song Strong, Solid, and Sensational. Now, it's a very unusual recording where you could hear Ray Bourbon actually sing, but he departs from his normal recitation style to do his own version of that song, with his best Mae West impression. Thank you.
boys, how you doing? Man, the joint's lousy with faggots tonight.
I never saw you before, little sister.
I never saw you before either, big brother.
You work around here?
Yes, I'm singing over the double buzzard. Why don't you come over sometime?
What kind of a man do you like?
Shall I tell him? Tell him. He must be strong, solid and sensational. You seem able to fill my samovar with tea. But let me tell you, big brother, if you're gonna be the kind of lover who leaves me wanting another, no, you're not for me. Ah, no, you're not for me. Now, when a butcher slices my meat and he cuts too far from the bone, I'm not the one to say, butcher, put your knife to the horn. But when it comes to slicing meat, of that I'm not too sure. But when it comes to love, I'm a connoisseur. He must be strong, solid and sensational. He must be able to meet me on times of agility. Now you can be a mujik from the Ukraine. You don't have to make love with your brain. But if I notice the slightest strain, no, you're not for me. Oh, no, you're not for me. Now when a baker needs his dough to loose and his pastry falls apart, I'm not the one to say, baker, you make a lousy tart. Well, when it comes to making tarts, there my knowledge is low. But when it comes to making love, that I undoubtedly know. He must be strong, solid and sensational. Not to mention just a dash of hot virility. Now, if you're half the man of whom I've heard, I'll do for you what Catherine did for Peter the Third. But if you mention a single word, no, you're not for me. Oh, no, you're not for me. He must be strong, solid and sensational. If you ain't doing a Kazovsky, you swap someplace else.
From 1945, again, that was Ray Bourbon. And this is J.D. Doyle, thanking you again for joining me on this visit to the music of the Pansy Craze. Closing the show is another rare track of Ray Bourbon singing, this time in his own voice. It's from 1941 and is a tropical journey with all the wordplays you would expect from a song called Take a Lay.
Underneath that tropic sun, that's where all the mess begun, way down on the South Sea Isle. A chiser there, nameless babe, met a guy whose name was Jay, carried on in stinking style. She says, won't you take a lay, come on over and play, everything will be gay when you get a lay. Satisfy your need when I shake my grass, then I'll twist my weeds, and then I'll shake my sailors come and beg for more, just to get what you're here for. Come on, babe, ain't no sin. Come on, baby, and do give in. Oh, underneath those trees, in a tropic breeze, hear the wild waves say you've got to have a lay. Thank you. everything will be gay. When you get a layer, I'll satisfy your needs. When I shake my grass, then I'll twist my weeds, and then I'll shake my... Now sailors come and beg for more, just to get what you're here for. Come on, babe, it ain't no sin. Come on, baby, and do give in. Oh, underneath those trees, in a tropic breeze, hear the wild waves say, you've got to have a lay.